did for us when he first created us. The cross was to make us complete again as sons of the living God, who would live as God had intended. It's probably good to look at the beginning and see where it went wrong. And we know that Satan had a brilliant and exalted position in heaven. He was in charge of the worship, the music, the worship of God. But he became proud and he began to rebel against God. And he got a third of the angels of heaven to join him in his rebellion. And God would not have rebellion in his heaven. And so Satan, we are told, was thrown to the earth. And he was left to walk to and fro, where the Bible tells us, upon the earth to test the hearts of all men on the earth. And that was the position that he was in. And then God created Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman. The woman was taken from the rib of the man, and the two of them lived in relationship with God. And God's purpose for them was that they would share in his glory. They would know him intimately. God said to them, I've made you in my image, and I want you to fill the earth, and I want you to subdue it, and I want you to rule over every living thing upon the earth. It is the most exalted position you could be apart from God. And God said, all you need to do to keep that position is to obey me. And Adam and Eve lived this incredible life. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us for how long. You see, the other amazing part about Adam and Eve is that they would have lived forever. They were created to be immortal. They would have had no expiry date on their lives. Satan hated what God had created because he saw how much God loved his creation. And his determination was to somehow try to strike at God by removing what God loved so much. And so he came into the Garden of Eden, and by lying and deceiving, he got Adam and Eve to believe that God didn't love them and that they could disobey God and become as great as God was. The very same thing that caused Satan to be thrown out of heaven. And so God had said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden except the one, the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan said, you won't die if you eat this. In fact, you become like God. And they took it and they ate it. And God came back into the garden looking for them. And they hid because they were now ashamed of him, of themselves, and kept from him. And God called them and he spoke about what had happened. And God said, because you've rebelled against me, you can no longer have this exalted position. Now, your bodies will know decay and will ultimately die. Through hard work, you will now have to earn the bread you eat. The earth will produce thistles and thorns that will make it very hard for you to produce your livelihood. Disease would become possible. Curses would now become possible. And all mankind after that time would live under the control of their father, the devil, because they had given themselves to him when they chose to obey him and disobey God. But God knew that this was going to take place. God was not taken by surprise. He knew that this was going to happen. And he had a plan. And his plan was that he would have to redeem them. Just as sin resulted in spiritual and physical death, so only the offering of a life could atone for that. You see, death could only be paid for with life. So that once again people could be one with God. Because rebellion had resulted in the fall of man, only a sinless, perfectly unrebellious man could pay the price. could become the sacrifice. It had to be somebody who was without sin. And God saw that the only one he had who could do that was his own son, Jesus. And he sent Jesus into the earth to pay the price as a sacrifice on our behalf, so that we would have forgiveness and be restored back to that relationship. You see, only God was able to provide the sacrifice. And in a strange way, God died for us so that we would have life. Now, it might seem to you that it is a rather massive consequence for just taking a bite out of a piece of fruit. It's not the bite out the piece of fruit that was the problem. It was what their hearts were saying. It was the rebellion in their hearts that said, I don't have to listen to God. I can do what I want to do. I mean, compared with murder or adultery, it seemed quite inconsequential. But it's always what lies behind the sin that God deals with, never with the evidence. The fact that it took his son to lay down his life to pay the price gives us some idea of how God sees rebellion. It would require his sinless son's life to pay for it. And it shows how God hates and abhors rebellion and independent thinking. For Jesus to be our Savior, he had to do what Adam and Eve failed to do. He had to come and he had to live out his life on the earth and live it free from rebellion and free from sin. Otherwise, he couldn't pay the price. And Satan knew this. And Satan tried to seduce him when he was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan tried to get him to turn the stones into bread. He tried to get him to throw himself off the temple to show that God's angels would catch him. He said to him, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. You won't have to die. You can have it all. You see, all of it was the same subtle attempt to seduce Jesus away from the plan that God had for him. And praise God, Jesus didn't succumb to those seductions. And Jesus remained faithful. But God shows us that sin requires punishment. There is no other way that sin can be dealt with up to then without punishment. Somebody had to pay the price. Not only did Jesus have to die, but he had to die the death of a guilty man who was perfectly innocent. It would be, in a modern context, as if you and I were in a court of law and there was a serious charge against us of which we were 100% guilty. And as the sentence is passed on our lives, another man gets up in the courtroom and says, I will take her punishment. I will take his punishment. Let him go free and punish me instead. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He said, punish me for their sin so that they can be free and they can live. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. There was only one way to pay for sin, and that was through death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God loved us, and he didn't want us to be condemned to a life of eternal separation from him. He loved his creation so much. It was the high point of what he had made. And he said, I will send my best to get me back these sons and these daughters that I want in my household. And that is why he sent Jesus. Isaiah 53 tells us that he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon his shoulders. And by his stripes, we are healed. He was crushed. He was punished that you would not have to be punished. What a deal Nobody in the world offers you that. But God punished his own son so that he wouldn't have to punish you and me. And we would go free. Now we know that up to then sin had separated man from God. But even as believers, sin puts a strain on our relationship with God the Father. And you and I both know that, like Adam and Eve, when we're not walking close to Jesus, we hide away from him and we don't know that we can approach him, and we feel ashamed of what we've done, or we feel that he would be angry with us and he would judge us and he would reject us if we came back to him. And the beloved Apostle John wrote this amazing statement in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "If we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And he will forgive us our sins. And not only that, he will purify us from all unrighteousness." Everything, every time we sin, and we reach out and we touch the blood works, and the blood cleanses us. And when the Father looks at our lives, he sees not your faults, he sees the blood of his Son. He sees that you are purchased through the blood of Jesus to live forever. The Father loves you so much that he would do that for you. And every time we sin, Jesus does not have to go back to the cross and die again. Because the Bible tells us he died once for all sin. All the sin that had been committed before, he went to the cross, and all the sin that would be committed after the cross. And the Bible says he took our sin and it was nailed to that cross. Just as the nails were put through Jesus' hands and his feet into that wood, our sin was nailed there. And that, the instrument of Jesus' death, would be the one thing that would be the instrument of our life that would set us free forever. His one sacrifice releases us from the consequences of every sin. You can never sin so greatly that cross hasn't paid for it. There is nobody on earth that Jesus didn't pay the price for. I think you have some understanding of why, when he was in the garden prior to being arrested, he sweated drops of blood. He knew what he was taking upon himself. He knew the price he was going to have to pay. He knew the pain he would suffer. It wasn't just the physical pain of what was going to happen. It was the spiritual pain of becoming our sin offering so that we would be set free. And that is why when he hung on the cross and he cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In that moment, he was alone on the cross dying for you and me. His disciples had deserted him. The only ones we know that were there were John the Apostle, his mother and Mary Magdalene, who were close to him when he died. And just as he is merciful to us, he says, "Now I require you to be merciful to each other. In the same way that I have forgiven you for everything, I want you to forgive one another in the same way." And this is the beauty of this. This is why I love this idea of being a family here. Because this is a family not made up by blood relation, but through the blood that was shed that makes us one and one with him. And there is nothing that you can do to me that I am unable to forgive you for. There isn't anything. Just like there is nothing that any man could do that Jesus hasn't paid the price for. And this is our life. And this is what we have that holds us together. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Nothing in all creation will be able to pluck us out of your hands, Jesus. We are safe and we are secure forever and ever. Thank you, Father. Would you pray this with me, please? Thank you, Jesus, for the cleansing of your blood. That you have made me clean in your sight. Restoring me to wholeness in your sight. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given me a clean heart. Now I want to keep my heart clean and pure before you. Please give me the grace to forgive others. To extend mercy and love towards them. I want to fulfill your word. To bless those who curse me. And pray for those who persecute me. I want to love my enemies. Lord, I choose to forgive all who have wronged me. Lord, I choose to forgive all who have wronged me. And I refuse to become bitter, angry, or resentful. And now I speak your peace over my life and over their lives too. And I thank you that I can live this way because of the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. King David understood this. He went up on the roof of his house when he should have been at war with the rest of his troops. And he spotted Bathsheba taking a bath. Now, I have no idea how that worked, but that's what he did. The Bible tells us. And he desired her, and he sent for her, and he slept with her, and she became pregnant, and she conceived a baby. And so he needed to remove his own guilt or his sense of being caught out. So he arranged to have her husband killed on the front so that the husband wouldn't find out that it was him and nobody else would. He tried to hide and conceal his sin. But the prophet came to him because God had revealed to the prophet what he had done, and he confronted David with his sin. And David repented of his sin. And there's this amazing portion of scripture I want to read you from, Psalm 51. When Jesus says to God, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will praise and sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite, O God, you will not despise." Brothers and sisters, God doesn't require our brilliant acts of service. He doesn't require our money. He requires our hearts. He requires our hearts, which are given to Him. And all that we do must come out of that. Our behavior can never change our hearts, but our hearts will show what is inside us. And Jesus wants our hearts. He wants the hearts of His people back. He wants them because He paid for them. And He calls you and I tonight and He says, as this year unfolds, here is your chance. Here is your opportunity to walk in all that I've paid for. You can never pay for it. You can never make yourself righteous. Your best behavior will never make you acceptable to God. You need the blood of Jesus every moment of every day to pay the price. Jesus is willing to go to the cross. He was willing to suffer, to be shamed, to be humiliated, because He hung naked on the cross despite every Renaissance painting. He wasn't clothed when He died. And He hung there, and the people He loved that He came to save mocked Him, said, if you're God, come down from that cross. Jesus hung there so that we would be free. And Jesus tonight is saying to you, forever you are not guilty. The debt has been paid. And when your enemy comes and he tries to lie to you and say, your behavior must equal your salvation, you need to go back to him and say, that's a lie. My best behavior can never make me righteous in God's sight. By Jesus going to the cross, we see how much the Father loved us. That the value Father put on your life was the life of His only Son. This is how much He hates rebellion and how much He loves you. The high point of His creation on the earth. Now God has restored us. And God has removed from us the struggle. And God has taken away our desire to try and make it on our own. And He's said, you can live now in My grace, sufficient for you. The wages of death, of sin is death, and I've paid for it. So, there's now no condemnation for any of us. He was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was upon Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you for the power of your blood. I want to thank you that you paid the price. I want to thank you for the power of that blood that right now is working. Could you pray with me, brothers and sisters? Thank you, Jesus. Because you suffered my punishment on my behalf. Your mercy, Lord, is so great that you do not treat me in the way my sins deserve. But you pour your peace upon me day by day, giving me the wealth of heaven. Thank you, Lord, that instead of the condemnation I deserve, you have given me the gift of eternal life. And I shall live and reign with you eternally. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my fellowship with you and making it possible for me to live in unity with you and fulfill your greatest plan for my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you. Not only is our sin forgiven, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Our shame has been washed away. Our shame before God is washed away through the blood of Jesus. Some of us need to forgive ourselves for what we've done, because we dare not bear any guilt for what is not recorded in heaven. And whatever went on before in your life is gone. It no longer exists in the records of heaven. You need to let it go from your life tonight. You need to say, I don't carry that anymore. It's not mine. It's not mine. That person doesn't even exist anymore. He is set free. She is set free. And I'm going to forgive myself tonight. I choose to forgive myself and turn from my shame and turn from my embarrassment and turn from my hurt. Whatever happened 1 hour ago, when we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right now, you are free. You will never have to answer for any repented for sin. Whatever you've said, confess to God. You will never answer for it, because He suffered for your sin that you will be free. You can never pay the price that He paid for you. And when He died on the cross, He died to your poverty. He died to sickness. He died to your mortality. You will live forever. Your body's going to age, but you will live forever. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So stop condemning yourself and set yourself free. Because He has set you free. And He has said, you are free, no longer guilty, because He was punished on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. You are a son and an heir. Turn to the person next to you, whether a man or woman, and say to them, you are a son and an heir of God. Amen. On this earth, I have no natural inheritance, but I have a divine inheritance as a son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So now, we're going to do two things. If you'd like to sit down, I'll explain it to you. When Jesus knew that His last night had occurred with His disciples, He called them around a table to celebrate the Passover, which was the celebration of the Hebrews who were captive in Egypt. And God had sent many plagues to Egypt to cause Pharaoh to agree to release them. And then when he wouldn't, because his heart was hardened, God said to the Hebrews, the Israelites, He said, take each family a pure, blemish-free lamb for yourselves. And keep this lamb, and on a given day, at sunset, at twilight, you're to all slaughter your lambs. And you're to collect some of their blood. And you're to take that blood and use a piece of hyssop, or a herb, dip it in the blood and paint it over the lintel of your door, the sides and the top. And God said, once you've painted it, take that lamb inside and do not come out of your house again for the whole of that night, but eat the whole of that lamb. Go and cook it. Roast it, don't boil it. And I agree, I prefer roast lamb. And roast it and eat everything. And that night, God sent the angel of death over Egypt. And every house that had the blood applied to the lintel, he passed over that house. But every house that did not, he went in and he killed the firstborn of Pharaoh, of the lowest slave, and of every livestock they owned. And so Israel celebrates to this day the Passover feast. It's a festival where they celebrate that God spared them and caused Pharaoh to say, you can go. And they gave them the wealth of the land to take with them. In the same way, Jesus' blood applied to your life means death does not come to you. Your body will die because you still live in your fallen body, but your spirit will live forever. Because the blood has been applied to your life. And so Jesus called his disciples together to have this celebrate, this Passover feast, which was the tradition of the nation and still is. And when they were sitting around the table, he tried to explain to them what was going to happen. And then he took, because God is so wise, he took the simplest elements that they would always be able to remember what Jesus had done. And he knew every day they would eat bread. And he said, took this bread and he gave thanks to the Father for it. And then he broke it. And he said to them, this bread I'm breaking. I want you to remember that my body was broken for you. Every time you break this bread, I want you to remember my body was broken for you. I was going to pay this price that you would not have to pay it. Because the Father loves you so much, he sent me to bring you back. The way I'm going to do it is my body's got to be broken so I can bring you back to the Father. And condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! You're free! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whoa! 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 Tonight to help you understand what Jesus did for you. He took every charge against you and nailed it to the cross. It's nailed here. Your sin, your guilt, everything you've ever done wrong, every failure in your life, it's nailed here. It no longer stands against you. Now, some of us have been walking around with condemning thoughts in our minds and our hearts. And we want to nail those to the cross tonight. Some of us have got disease that we've been fighting. We want to nail them to the cross because this cross was where the disease was paid for. That you don't have to carry that disease. Mental illness, physical illness was all paid for at the cross of Jesus. Depression was paid for at the cross of Jesus. Failure was paid for at the cross of Jesus. Poverty was paid for at the cross of Jesus. The rejection by the world was paid for at the cross of Jesus. So we want to give you a chance tonight. You may want to take this opportunity because you want to make it real for yourself. Some of you have been hurt by people and you've been carrying the pain of that for a long time in your life. And you want to love them and you want to say, I forgive you. But you need to bring that pain and put it at the cross of Jesus, nail it there, so that you can be free of the pain, because the cross was for the payment of that pain. His grace is more than enough. So we've got here at the foot of this cross, we've got a whole bunch of paper. And you may want to come here and write something down. It might be your life. I want to give you my life tonight. I want to confirm I've done this. You write on there, my life. Or my hurt, my pain, my disease, whatever I've been carrying that is not mine to carry anymore. My sin. My habitual sin I can't break in my life. Tonight, I'm nailing it to the cross. You don't have to write your name on this piece of paper. Who knows who? He knows who you are. Take this chance. And here's a little pushpin. And all you're going to do, push it in there and leave it there. And as you do this, say, Jesus, I am putting that pain. It might be that you were abused by somebody at some stage in your life and you've walked with that pain all your life. Say, tonight, Lord, I'm putting that on the cross. I'm nailing it to the cross. You paid the price for my pain, my sin, my disease, my poverty, my lack of a job, my lack of finance, my lack of sense of self-worth. I'm nailing it to the cross tonight because the cross paid the price for all of that. Because your name is not there, we will not know who wrote what. But all I'm going to ask you to do is when we're finished, we will take it all off here. We'll take them all home and we'll burn the whole lot because that's what Jesus did with them. So you are safe, you're secure. We will never know who you wrote what. But take this chance now. Nail it to the cross, whatever it is.